chapter 2. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take my coat off. Is that all right? It's fixing to get hot in here. Y'all get ready. All right. Amen. Or oh me. Trey, hold this. Thank you, sir. Oh, I can see. I can see the light. Oh, all right. Best I can do. Sorry, guys. I got some friends here. I won't embarrass them out there in the back. How y'all doing? Can't wait to see them after the service. Better wait for me so I can see you. All right. Praise the Lord. Haven't seen them in a long time. And I'm glad you're here today. But take your copy of God's Word. Go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to have some fun today, but I want to share with you some things that God has really put on my heart. Get your notepad out and get ready to take notes if you have a pen or pencil. I want to add one thing. You'll see in the bulletin there's three things. I'm adding a fourth. God spoke to me this week and made it really clear that I needed to do this. So with that, I want to take off. How can I face adversity? How can I face adversity? Anybody here this morning have any adversity in their life at all? Can I see your hands? Yeah. All right. Well, we got a bunch of holy good people today. I thought nobody would raise their hand. I'd have to call y'all liars. But anyway, praise the Lord. Yeah, we're going through adversity. All of us do. And I really felt like God said for this Thanksgiving week, if you will, preach to the people about how to get through adversity. Preach to the people the Word of God so that they can see how they get through adversity. So today I'm going to preach four quick points, and then I'm going to give you a principle at the end that I pray, and I've prayed hard this week, that you'll get and that it'll bless you. Now, this sermon's probably a week or two too late based on where I'm going with this, but listen to this morning. And be ready. But bow your heads with me. Let's go to God and say, ask God to really have us listen today. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, I just pray today. Because I know all of us, I saw everybody's hands go up, are facing adversity in our lives. Some of us, it may be our health, our relationships, our finances. Lord, I don't know what all it is. But you do. And so we pray this morning, Lord, that you'll open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our minds to God's Word. And let that be our base. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to start with number one, but not number one on your bulletin. I want to give you a new one that I want to add. I want you to write down, if you will, how we think. How can you face adversity and how can I face adversity? And in just a minute, I'm going to open up to Philippians chapter 2 and we're going to read 5 through 18. But I want you to write down how we think and I want you to write down 1 Peter 1, 3 through 15. I believe that today, you and me need to consider how we think. Now, I'm going to give you scriptures, three of them, in fact, that will back this up. But how we think determines how we face adversity. Amen? And so I want to show you how we should think. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 15, in your copy of God's Word, it says this. Therefore, preparing your minds. I can't wait to preach the sermon on 1 Peter 1, 3, 13 through 15. If you know me, if you come to my men's Bible study, you know that 1 Peter is one of my favorites. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, what that says is that if you're thinking about what God's doing in your life and you're preparing how you think, that is your mind, you're going to know what the revelation of Jesus Christ is in your life. 14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. I ask you today, as you're going through adversity in your life, how is your conduct through that adversity? How are you acting and what is in your mind and how are you thinking through that adversity? Well, Pastor, you don't realize, you know, I had a job for 15 years and they shut down and now I don't have any income. How are you thinking through that? Do you know that God says, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? Are you surrounding yourself with God's words and God's promises or is your thinking of your former ignorance? Oh no, what are we going to do, right? The Bible says how we face adversity is by getting ourselves prepared in our minds. Let me give you another verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I tell you again this morning, as you go through adversity, obey Christ and take every thought that comes into your mind captive and surround it with the Word of God. That's how we face adversity as Christians because, I'm going to say it because I say it every week, the world is watching to see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through you guys, the church. So when we face adversity and we run with like a chicken with her head cut off, Tom, we were talking about that this morning. When we run like a chicken with her head cut off in adversity, the world's going, ha, look at them Christians. They don't get it. They don't really believe in the supernatural like they preach. They don't really believe that God will do all things through them that gives them strength. They don't really believe it, but they show up for a little social club on Sunday and they act like they know what's going on, and they don't really get it. But the world's watching to see us, and our demonstration needs to be of God's love and power based on what we think through the Word of God. Amen? All right, we're getting there. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. We're just going to look over at something real quick. Bible says how we think. Again, it says, do not be anxious about anything. You all know this, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when we face adversity, and if y'all know me, my motto is go, man, go. So when I face adversity, sometimes I go, man, go, and I'll plow through it. But God tells me that I need to quit being anxious about anything, but take everything that I'm anxious about to prayer and get my mind right, set upon God, and God will get me through that adversity. And I'll be thankful through that, it says. One more, I want to read verse 8 to you, because this is where I'm going this morning. 4 of Philippians, verse 8. Brothers, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Listen to me today. How we think determines how we face adversity. Write down Isaiah 26. If you're a Bible scholar, you'll want this. 26, verse 3. You keep him. God says, I keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Where's your mind this morning? Here's where I'm going. Stay with me. See, I said a few weeks ago, go back and get the sermon online. By the way, last week's sermon was the most requested sermon we've ever had. So listen to it if you weren't here last week. Somebody liked it. I've stood up here and said, I believe in the supernatural. I believe God can change your life. I believe God can do amazing things through you when he does something in you. And I believe that with all my heart. But see, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that we are facing adversity throughout our nation today, and our younger people especially are facing all kinds of stuff. And we are too as adults. But brothers, think of what is true and honorable. Brothers and sisters in Christ, think of what is just and pure and holy and lovely and commendable. Think on these things. We live in a world today that if we don't see supernatural things in front of us, we don't believe anything. Why? I ask God, what is going on? I did something I rarely do, and I'm ashamed to tell you. But Friday night, I took my wife on a date. I don't take her out on dates. But I took her out on a date Friday night. I said, lady, let's go. Said, you got 5 minutes. Hurry, let's go. No. We went on a date. Went to a movie. I haven't been to a movie since I don't know when. Went out to eat. Had a gift card somebody gave us from Pastor Appreciation Month. Actually, we went to the movie free, too. Somebody gave us gift cards for that. Sitting at that movie, I'm just looking around. I see a brother of mine that I knew years ago, and he was a Catholic, and I mean hardcore Catholic, which is fine with me. Came up to me and said, Billy, I can't wait to find you. And I said, what's up? He said, I've become a born-again believer, and I'm in a Baptist church now, and I'm even in the leadership team. And he said, you know what? And I said, what? He says, and I'm tithing. I said, praise the Lord. I mean, Lisa, wasn't he on fire for God? So we walk into the movies, and I'm sitting there looking around, and we went and saw, I'll tell you what I saw, I'm not ashamed, I went and saw Blindside, cute little movie, had one little cuss word in it, which I didn't like that, but it was a good movie. But while I was in there, I looked around, and they had other movies going on, and in the movie theater, there was this movie coming out called Legion. People, that's demons. And then there's another movie that's out right now that's called New Moon something. Uh-oh. Everybody's pulling their toes in. And there was 1,000 people waiting in line because they were showing it 6 different times every hour on the hour. And there was people lined up from here to Kingdom Come to see that stupid movie. whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is, what's the Bible say? True, whatever is honorable. Our kids today are seeing people turn into werewolves, and they expect God to do something like that to think it's supernatural. That's not supernatural. That's pathetic, and that's demonizing things. So our young people today are growing up going, how can I face adversity? I need to turn into a werewolf. Can you tell this really upsets me? And this is probably a week late. All y'all went and saw it, and I didn't tell you already. The Pope came out this week and told the Catholics if they go see it, they ain't Catholic no more. They're getting serious about it. People, we face adversity, and our children are growing up in a world that thinks that, you know, if you get in trouble, you just get the best-looking guy, and he turns into a werewolf. And I'll get off of that in a minute, but I'm still on my soapbox. God is the one that does supernatural things, not Hollywood. God is the one that will take your marriage and say, you know what, I'll make it a great marriage if you'll just focus on these things. I cried yesterday. My wife said, what's wrong with you? And I said, Lisa, I've failed our people because I didn't warn them what's out there. How we face adversity, people, comes down to what we think. And if we think that Hollywood's going to make us all good, brother, you're in trouble. But if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ in you will make you great, my friends, you're on your way to being the God of this city, because that was a great song. God of this city. There's something greater coming here, people, and it's us waking up going, we don't need to do that dumb stuff. We need to go to the supernatural God. Number two, let's hurry. Now we're back online. Trust His outcome. Open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5, and it says this. Have this mind. Uh-oh. There it is again. How I think. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind how you think. How you think is in Christ Jesus. If you want to overcome adversity, you must trust His outcome for your life. Do you trust that God has an outcome for you to do great things through you? I believe in you. I believe God's going to turn this city around because of our church. I trust in His outcome. Doesn't that sound like Jesus Christ? Look at verses 6 through 8. Who, though He was in the form of God, we're talking about Jesus, that's what we do at church, He did not count equality with God a thing to be, what's that say? Grasped. Look at what this says. Keep reading. But He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus trusted the outcome that He faced. He emptied Himself. He gave Himself. He put Himself on the cross. And you know what you and me would have done? I know I would have. I would have said, okay, God, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But how I think, if I think like Christ, like this tells me to think in my mind, I'm going to say, I'll go. I love to see these kids say, I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Shwunk. That sound like water? Best I could do. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Trust God's outcome. Trust God. Look at 1 Peter again. Like I said, I've memorized 1 Peter. I love it. Chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's you. So listen, I'm talking to y'all. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. And when He was reviled, He did not revile in return. And when He suffered, He did not threaten, but He continued entrusting Himself on whom judges justly. He trusted His outcome to God, is what Peter's telling us. Not in spite of God, but because of God. Pastor, I'm going to show up on Sunday just in spite of it. I'm going to go to church because Grandma prayed for me. No, do it because of God. And then you'll show up and these seats will be full. If you're doing it for Grandma or in spite of, it's going to be empty. But when you're doing it because of God, you're going to wake up and go, it's like Christmas morning every Sunday. I can't wait to get there and see what gift the pastor's going to open up for us today. And all I offer to you is the Word of God. That's it. But that's the greatest gift. Look what it says. Jesus trusted God not in spite of it because of all these things. Look at verses 9 and 11, and we're back in Philippians. I love this. Therefore, God has exalted him. Number one, write down, God exalted Jesus Christ. Highly exalted. Number two, he became the name above all names. And number three, every knee shall bow. Not in spite of, but because of the adversity that Jesus went through. Trust him with your outcome. But pastor, I got surgery tomorrow. Trust him with your outcome. But pastor, my subprime on my prime. Trust him with your outcome. That's how you face adversity. Praise the Lord. That will build your life. Hurry, number two, obey his word. Not only do we trust his outcome, obey his word. Look at verse 12. This is great. Therefore, my beloved, as you always have obeyed, therefore, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much in my absence, work out your own salvation. You know, it's always fun when I go to someone's house unannounced. I can just hear it behind the other side. I knock and they look through that little hole. Mom and Dad, pastor's here. Oh, no. Run! Somebody said amen or oh me, I couldn't hear him. Paul is saying right here, you know what? Obey his word. Don't make me go down to the theater and sit in that line and tell y'all, hey, don't go in there. Do it because I ain't there. And don't go in there and see all this witchcraft stuff. Obey his word. I know I'm picking on the movies today, but I went to the movie Friday and it shocked me. I got to show you this. I'm going to ask a question in just a minute, but check this out. Check this out. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. You know what that means, Terry, in Greek? It says, work it down. I read this in Greek the other day, and I just went, yeah. Work it down, baby. Now, I'm going to get real southern. Anybody from the South, raise your hand. All right, help me out, y'all. All y'all, help me out here. Lisa's from the deep South, Tennessee. When we go back to Tennessee, Grandma, great-grandma, she's passed, but we'd go back there, and I mean Grandma could cook. And I'm the cook in our family. My wife's favorite words are not, I love you, but let's go out. So I have become the chef. So when I go to Tennessee, I used to get with Grandma on Christmas and say, Grandma, teach me how to cook. Grandma would say, okay, let me show you how to cook. Cornbread and ham hock and beans, baby. I mean, are y'all hungry yet? Okay. She had me grab that pot like this, and I would have to turn it this way. Now, I'm from Gilbert, and I'm not real coordinated. Randy, amen. Turn it this way, Billy, and then grab the deal, whatever that deal is, you know, stirrer. And stir this way. I can't even hardly show you. And one time I went this way. No, don't you do it that way. You do it this way or it ain't right. Are you with me? Grandma leans up over my shoulder and she says, I got the good stuff. And as you work, as you do this, I'm going to fold in with you. I turned to my wife, fold in with me. What's up with that? Lisa said, that means pour. Oh, okay. I'm going to fold in with you. So here I am, and I'm serious, because if I go this way, I'm in trouble. Cornbread ain't going to be no good. She starts folding in. And you know what she says to me on my shoulder? Work it down. Work it down. Work it down. Work it down. Lisa, what's work it down mean? She means when it comes out, if you work it down, it's going to be all through that cornbread. And it's going to be good cornbread. And God right here is saying, I have given you the word of God. Work it down. Work it down. Work it down. So when adversity comes, it comes out good. Isn't that good? All right, let's go back to Gilbert. Let's quit being southern. I'm hungry. Work it down. What God has poured in you, work it out. And if you're going to these things of the world that aren't of God, you ain't working it down, my friend. you're getting yourself in a mess and you're going to end up in trouble. Work down the Word of God. Work down sanctification. God is trying to make you more like Him every day. Work it down. Fold in there with Him. Get the Word in you. The movie's 2 hours long. Have you read your kids the Word of God for 2 hours? Whew. People, listen, look at 13 through 15. Oh, I'm glad I took my coat off. For it is God who works it in you. Let God work it down, both to will and to do the work for His good pleasure. Do all these things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a what? Crooked and dark. Look what it says right here. Crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. People, work it down so that the light can be shined through you. And then when you face adversity, you're obeying God's Word. Work it down. Number three, thank God for every blessing. This is Thanksgiving. Look at 17 and 18 of Philippians chapter 2 in your copy of God's Word. The Bible says this: even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with y'all. He was from the south. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. The Bible, look, turn the page to Philippians 4:6. I want to make a point here. Philippians 4:6, you guys all know this. I've already read it. Not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A point, listen to me. You cannot separate joy from thanksgiving. You cannot separate joy from thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Then you can have joy. But if you're not thankful, you can't have joy. You can't separate the two. Let's quickly end. I'm going to end with an application. Actually, this is a principle. This is a principle. I found this in God's Word. I'm just going to preach, just real fast. We're almost done. You go home and make your beans. Hold on. Do you want to change the outlook of your life? Do you? But I'm going to show you a principle in God's Word about adversity that I think God has shown me, and I'll tell you what, I got about excited about this. Listen to these words. The cup always precedes the crown. Let me say it to you like this. Adversity always precedes the crown. Let me just ask a question here. Who wants a crown? Do you guys want to do great things for God? I hope you do. Do you realize that the cup, adversity, always precedes the crown? Do you realize that? Let me give you God's principle real quick. Hang with me here. God uses adversity to develop us. He uses these things to develop us. God is more interested in developing your character than solving your problems. Write that one down. God is more interested in developing your character than He is in solving your problems. Oh God, I got all these problems. Please help me, help me, help me, help me. And He's going, I want your character to be not that you just run to me when you're in trouble, but that you've worked it down in your life and everything you do is about God. See the difference? Matthew 26:39, I want to show you this. And going a little farther, he fell on his feet, that is Jesus, and he prayed saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, that was Jesus saying, Lord, this adversity's coming. If it's your will, if I don't have to go through it, take it away. But if you want me to go through it to make me better and to do your will, then put me through it, man. And that's what God's doing to us right now as a church, as a nation, as a country, and I'm telling you, as a denomination, as people that love God, God is putting us through this right now, this cup. What is the gospel? The gospel is called good news. You ever thought about that? Good news is what? Death. Good news is what? Burial. Good news is what? Resurrection. That's the good news. But you have to die and be buried to get to the good stuff. This is a principle, people. The cup always comes before the crown. God tells us to stand up, not to back up, and not to give up, and don't quit, but stand up and give God the praise. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Even, listen to this, when Israel entered the promised land. I study ancient history. I love history. I love the Old Testament. And Israel got out of Egypt and they went around. You guys know the story for 40 years. And then finally God said, all right, here's the promised land. Let's go. He parts the sea. What's the first thing that happened when they got to the promised land? They're like, man, the grapes are this big. And they run into a wall in Jericho. How are we going to get in there? Oh, I know. Let's go in circles until God shows up. Seven times. I don't want to do it seven times. I may fall off stage. They go around seven times and they blow the horns at it. And the walls caved in and they took Jericho and wiped them all out. And in fact, there was 32 battles I found as they entered the promised land. They only lost one. It was because some guys were stealing stuff they shouldn't have taken. The cup always comes before the crown. We have to face adversity to get the crown. If you have the cup today, get ready for the promise that is coming, the crown. Work it down. Work it down into your life. Abraham led his son up to the point where he was going to take a knife and stick him, kill him. The cup. And then God showed up with a crown and said, no, here's a ram. Now go make great nations. See, I've been thinking about this, and I want to close with this, because the Bible says, this is my closing story, I promise. Joseph was in charge over all of Egypt. Joseph faced the cup. Joseph was sold into slavery. Joseph was sold to the Egyptians and said, go away, we hate you, from his brothers. And he became the greatest among all of Egypt, except for the king, the Pharaoh. And Joseph was served this cup. And one day his brother showed up and they had no idea that he was alive. And they said, oh, we need your help to live because, see, we have a cup right now of famine. Joseph said, here's some corn. Take this corn and y'all go home and eat this corn. And they headed home and they're going, man, we just been to church and everything's good. We praise the Lord. Amen. And then all of a sudden Benjamin said, this is in Genesis 44 if you want to go home and read it. Uh-oh. King's cup is in my sack. Oh no! The cup just showed up. And they're going to say we stole it and they're all going to get killed. And if you read down the story, let me tell you guys something. All the cup did for Benjamin and his brothers was bring them right back to the face and in the presence of the king. And he blessed them. Some of you have had a cup show up in your life. Adversity. And you don't know how to act. Some of you have found this cup. And it's an unexpected cup like Benjamin. My life is good. I'm on top of the world. Bam! Economic crisis kicks in. Bam! Sickness. Bam! One of your kids calls is in trouble. Or your wife goes to the doctor if she's got a spot. The cup shows up. Church, drink that cup in full. Work it down. Because God has said there's a revelation through the cup experience that I will bring my promises and the crown will be there. The cup gets us to God's presence. The cup brings us to our knees. It's the cup that brings you to tears before Almighty God. It's the cup that brings the brokenness and the character turn in your life so that God can use you and give you a mighty anointing. It's the cup of adversity. And sooner or later, this cup will show up. Are you ready? Number one, for the cup, and are you ready to be in His presence? When the cup shows up, you know, most of us in this room today know Christ as Savior. But when the cup shows up and we find out we're sick, many of us find Christ as our healer. And many of us, when the cup shows up, find Christ, when we've lost our job, as our provider. And many of us find Jesus, when our cup shows up in death and we're in grief, as our comforter. Are you here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you here today and you know Jesus Christ, but you're waiting on the crown? It's coming. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, declares the Lord, for welfare and for and not of evil, but to give you a future and give you hope. Are you ready? Closing scripture, Exodus 19, verse 12. Really think about that. Michelle, if you want to come up and start playing. Exodus 19, 12, Moses is in all this adversity. He's got 2 million people going, let's go back. Let's go back and be slaves. And he says, God, I need you to show up and help me. And he says in Exodus 19, right before the Ten Commandments, he says, come to Mount Sinai and come meet me and I'll show you the acts that I want you to do. But he says, before you come up, hear me, everybody look at me right now. This is the most important thing you've heard all day. Before you come up on the mountain, I want you to build a hedge of plants around the bottom of that mountain. Exodus 19, 12, so that no wild thing can come up and be in my presence. He told Moses, build a hedge. I don't want any wild people or any wild animals or any wild thing to be able to get to my presence. And if it gets to my presence, surely it will die. People, listen to me. Adversity builds you a hedge around you so that no wild thing can come up and get between you and God. No wild thinking about supernatural stuff that you're going to see at the movie. Only think of what is pure and what is godly. God can heal you. God can deliver you. And God can help us as a church reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ. The whole nation will know about God. Let's build the hedge. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that you will make a prayer something like this. Say, dear God, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I maybe have a head knowledge of you. I need a relationship with you. I need to be able to get on my knees and cry to you and hear you speak to me. So, Father God, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. My all, I surrender to you. If you made that prayer, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to stand and come forward in just a minute. I'm going to ask you, and I pray that you're bold enough to